It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We could leave any day and call for help. We were gods, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't help. No name on the guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
Show. We're about, at this point, 48 minutes away from the opening of the legal tampering period. All it means is players and teams can agree to deals publicly, as opposed to, you know, what they have been doing, agreeing to them privately if they were a free agent that simply, whose deal simply ran out as opposed to being released. We've seen guys sign, at least agree to deals beforehand, but those are the guys who are cut or were returning free agents, like Ed Ingram. That news broke this morning. Ed Ingram back with the Texans. 3 years. Really, it's two. I mean, they can get to three. Over $37 million. Ed Ingram is back. What a come up for Ed Ingram. Goes from, man, I can't believe the Texans are shopping the bottom of the barrel, giving away, trading a low day three pick to the Vikings because they want to give away to Ed Ingram, and then he turns it into a multi-year double-digit million-dollar per year deal for a guy who felt like he might have been one bad season from being a guy who was strictly a practice squad guy trying to find his way. Instead, the Texans reward him for his play last year. He was a good run blocker, a so-so pass blocker, but how does Ed Ingram become your best offensive lineman? I mean, it's not a high bar to clear, but he was better than expected, and he gets paid. And the numbers that were speculated about his deal were more than he got, but I don't know that anyone thought Ed Ingram would be making over $11+ million after 1 year of the Texans. So, Cole Popovich, Kingmaker, Cole Popovich. Of course, it is the Texans' way. I mean, to give a guy money who was here already. I mean, they promote from within. They in some ways give Ed Ingram more money than I would have given him. But hey, he's their guy. They reward their guys. They do, yes.
Run it back.
They love their guys, and they're running it back for an offensive line. Well, run it back minus Tytus Howard. Run it back, yeah, minus Tytus Howard.
Overpaid, whatever.
Well, that's very in line with what a lot of people thought, including myself. He was paid like a tackle to play guard, frankly.
And then got a raise.
And then got a raise from the Vikings, or no.
Browns.
The Browns. So who am I to say that Tytus Howard isn't a good player? He's a fine player. And not like fine as in good. Like, he's fine.
Yeah.
Tytus Howard is fine. And
yeah. No, but, you know, Popovich will find the next one.
He found Ed Ingram. And that went from a one-year stopgap to he's at least part of the future for the next 2 years for this team. We will see if they can, as the legal tampering period's about to begin, we'll see if they can agree to a deal with someone else who could be a long-term solution for a guard spot or maybe a center spot, or will they be doing a full-on running back minus Tytus Howard and make Jake Andrews or give him an extension? And, of course, Trent Brown is back, and maybe – and maybe the other guard spot is someone internally that they like. Who could possibly know? Maybe a draft pick in about a month plus. But as it stands now, your Texans offensive line is Ursary, insert name of some guard, Jake Andrews, Ed Ingram, and Trent Brown. Not going in order from left to right, just trying to remember all the guys who are currently on the team and who are slated to start right now.
City Sal?
I would. Would I go with Jared Patterson over City Sal? Yes, I would. So I will throw.
If I have to have five today,
if we're gonna do the bit where we pretend like the season has any chance of starting today, mm-hmm. I would rather. Well, the league year doesn't even start today.
Oh yeah, no.
It doesn't officially start for
the
2 days.
Tampering.
Yeah, the legal tampering year starts today. I would go with Jared Patterson because he still remains on the roster. So
yeah, and you know, out of respect for Juice Patterson.
Just yes.
Pour one out.
We pour one out for that combo. Now they're no longer a duo. Just
one went solo.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see how those two career paths diverge, and maybe they meet up on a practice squad someplace.
Who's the Beyonce of this?
Don't think it's going to be one of those things. I don't think it's like one separates from the pack and becomes a star, and the star power is always there.
Okay. So it's more like Big Boy and Andre 3000?
Nope.
Where it's like,
nope.
You know, they went different ways, but, you know, both kind of maximized.
Well, if, depending on how you feel about flutes, if Andre 3000 immediately did a flute album, then maybe that's Juice Patterson. You can pick or choose which one you think he is. I was thinking more the non-Justin Timberlake NSYNC guys.
The Joey Fatone?
Not even. Joey Fatone was a theater actor and also, you know, hosted a show. It's more.
What was the other one?
Chris Kirkpatrick and J.C. Chazé, who probably had the best voice but didn't really go on to do anything. It's probably a combination of those two. Because at least Lance Bass found some fame doing host things and doing other stuff too. So I'm going to go Kirkpatrick and J.C. Chazé. You can pick or choose which part of Juice Patterson are those guys. But either way, the Texans, three of the five guys at the moment are back. We'll see if they find improvements at the other two spots or they try to keep Jake Andrews if they don't find a center that fits what they're looking for as far as value, and then go draft the guy, whether it be at tackle or guard or maybe even center in the draft. I would say draft more than a couple because you still need depth. Even if you remove the thought of, hey, we don't have many real first frontline starters, you don't really have any depth you can depend on. As the aforementioned City Sal got to play about 9 snaps before they realized, wait a minute, whatever the hell he was doing during practice that week, not great. He played a real NFL player on the other side as opposed to scout team and got his ass beat. So
9 plays.
So we're going to
nine plays for them to be like,
we've done this where we
small sample
where we still cannot where we cannot figure out what they saw in that practice week to put him out there as a surprise to everyone. And then he rolls out there and it's so bad they have to pull him.
To me, it's less what did he look like in practice? It's more what did he look like in those 9 plays for them to be like, nope, we're out.
I mean, yeah, that too.
That's also wild to think
that he
got benched after 9 plays.
It was so bad that they said this cannot stand because our quarterback's going to die out here and our running back maybe as well if we don't get him out of there. And they did, so they rectified their mistake pretty quickly. So I don't imagine
just needs another off season.
Nope.
Coach Pop.
I think you catch a break when you turn Jake Andrews, who you pulled off the street a couple years ago now, and Ed Ingram into guys who.
It was a good first year for Coach Pop in the head chair.
When you can turn, and he had a rookie left tackle. When you have those guys turn into at least competent NFL players, let's not take another shot on City Sal. Let's take a shot on this guy and see what happens.
Shot somewhere else.
Yeah, your cup is
you
full.
Took that shot.
Those two guys that you found and were able to make them playable. Don't take any more chances. Go draft a first-round talent if need be or second-day pick and find a way to improve not only the depth but the top-line talent on your offensive line. So that happened. Ed Ingram is back. Sheldon Rankins, that news was just announced. He is back. So the Texans bring back one of their interior defensive linemen who's a good player. $12 million guaranteed. We'll see the totality of the deal. But he gets his money to return to that defense who we really have no complaints about. Maybe get yourself an extra corner so Tremont Smith isn't dependent on. But other than that, they're fine over there. We'll see when and where, or at least when and how much, the Will Anderson contract will turn out to be. We expect that to happen. At least that's what the insiders expect to happen at some point this offseason. So that's the Texans stuff for now. We'll see if they bring in someone from the outside by the time the show's over. We'll be an hour in to when deals can be announced. So we'll see on that. as far as what happened last night with actual things on the court or on the field, because we're just talking about contracts there. The Rockets and the Spurs played, and the only word I can use is outclass. The Spurs, there are other words, but that's the least rude one I can use. The Spurs were clearly better from start to finish. It wasn't close. I don't know how the Rockets look as unathletic as they did against the Spurs, but they just look like two teams at two different tiers of athleticism. And that's when you even include Amen Thompson, and maybe Tyrese's injuries have kind of sapped some of the athleticism from him that we initially saw. Jabari Smith, of course, he's not a, I would say, explosive player, but athletic enough to guard, like maybe even give him 1 through 5, 1 through 4 as far as on the defensive end. But when you have Alperen Şengün, who is not athletic, not relatively speaking, and Kevin Durant, who's older, and we know what he is, but he's not the athletic marvel that he used to be. He did try to dunk on Luke Kornet. Luke Kornet was like, come on, what are you doing? I mean, yeah, I'm going to foul you, but you're not dunking all over me. Where do you think this is? I'm in the middle of trying to get Magic City Night canceled. You think you're going to dunk on me too? I got enough people trying to dunk on me. You're not going to be a guy who does it.
I've been fighting off the city of Atlanta for a week.
Yeah, you think I'm going to let – maybe that's why Kevin Durant attacked him that way. Like, oh, you're trying to cancel Magic City Night. Let me get some get back on you.
I like how that makes him like the Sean Bradley of the NBA. People being like,
I got to get my – no, yeah, you're not freakishly tall like your teammate who, when people try to dunk on, that's because, hey, a pelt on the wall. You are just a regular old big man who trying to get Magic City Night canceled, so we'll try to dunk on you. Didn't work, much like a lot of things that didn't work last night for the Rockets. Kevin Durant got hit in the face, made his 2 free throws, I believe. But other than that, not a lot of memorable moments from the Rockets. The Spurs shot the ball, let's say, unnaturally well from three. When Keldon Johnson's shooting and having that type of night, let's just say it's not going to be your night. But I didn't know. Or I don't know how it went from this athletic young Rockets core to, man, if only we had those two other 30-year-olds on our roster, we'd be just fine. That's how this is transformed over the last couple seasons. While this show made jokes about the young core and how many people were actually involved in it, there was a thought that that athleticism on that roster would be something that, along with the depth and continuing development, would be a team that maybe would look like what we saw from the Spurs last night. Of course, absent Wimby, that's the unique figure in all of this. But from Vassell to Keldon Johnson, of course, the two guards they drafted recently in Harper and Castle, and then you throw in De'Aaron Fox, who maybe has lost a little bit of a step, but still one of the fastest guys with the ball in his hands in the league. Then you look at the Rockets roster, and somehow, some way, they look slow. I know they helped themselves get older by trading for Kevin Durant, but Dorian Finney-Smith isn't an athletic marvel. He's not a guy who can keep up with, and I mean, I said it, I think I remember saying it coming back from Christmas break, holiday break, that I didn't like that the Spurs had become this good this quickly. This was coming off maybe a couple games where they played the Thunder and won.
Yeah, they beat the Thunder like three times in a row. And not that, like three games in a row.
Yeah, but three times they played them in a row over a short amount of time, they had won those games. And you look at them, and you know they had the bobble in New York, was it last Sunday or so? But how are the Rockets on a different tier than the Spurs already? I mean, like, we can go through it, but the fact that it feels like it happened this quickly, where the Spurs don't have even the bloody nose that the Rockets have from losing a playoff series, which is part of the traditional NBA development. You lose as a young team, and then you find your way as you continue to go through these battles. Well, when you trade for Kevin Durant, you're trying to fast forward that process. And while the record's pretty similar to what they were last year, I've noted in the past that the 2-seed Rockets from last year ripped off like 12 out of 13 around this time, and that made their record impressive and surprising. I don't know that this Rockets team is going to be able to keep up with the pace they've currently set, because they're floundering a little bit. Alperen Şengün's defensive mixtape is out now. You know you've reached a certain level when people are making mixtapes about how bad you are defensively. And the problem for Alperen Sengun, normally that happens for a player when an opponent's fan base does it. Like, okay, you don't want James Harden to win MVP. If you're maybe believes Russ is the MVP or Steph is the MVP, you make a mixtape showing how bad James Harden is defensively. This is coming from Rockets fans. I think that mixtape came from a Rockets fan to show how bad Alperen's been and how you can't win with him. And it was just highlighted by the Spurs. And he got a couple moments with Wimby, the whole back him down on the rim, toss that elbow in his ribs and see if you can flip it up in. And he got a couple of those off, but for the most part, you just see the difference in skill and athleticism across the board. So the Spurs beat the Rockets down. You heard from, well, maybe you didn't, but the words you hear always from Ime about toughness and so on and so forth. But that was ugly. It's not toughness or whatever you want to call it. The Spurs are much better. There's a fluidity to their offense. And when you think about it, Mitch Johnson ain't an established coach. Mitch Johnson, his first head coaching job is this job. He was a fill-in for Pop because Pop fell ill. And now, thanks to a supremely talented roster, he's a guy who may win Coach of the Year. I think I saw a stat where it's the first time that, or maybe the third time ever or something, that a coach, a rookie, and a player won the awards for that month, Coach of the Year, Player of the Month, or Coach of the Month, Player of the Month, and Rookie of the Month, something like that. So that's where the Spurs are. Clear difference between them and the Rockets. And I know I brought this up a couple years ago now. Ime had 1 year as a head coach before he got here. He just so happened to be coaching one of the more talented teams in the NBA. He made the finals, and then the off-the-court stuff torpedoed his career at the Celtics. But he is an inexperienced head coach. He sets a culture that has helped the Rockets become much more than respectable. But is he someone at this point that we should just expect to be outwitting and outmatching other coaches in the NBA? There's not a long resume of doing that. The finals, of course, tip of the cap for doing that with that Celtics team that had their own noses bloody for years now. The Jays, as they call them, were young even then, but had been through playoff series, had been through disappointments. They kind of had been through the wars, and they eventually get to a final and then lose to the Warriors. There's not a lot of Ime's resume that says offensive guru, great head coach, other than he got to walk the sidelines with a supremely talented team who had finals aspirations even before he got there. So he is the one under fire right now. We will see as the season goes along, can he and that Rockets team find their way? Is it as simple as Steven Adams isn't there to help their offense because he gets all the offensive rebounds? That's tough. I said earlier in the segment, can't believe two 30-year-olds are the difference, at least in some people's eyes, between this team being a championship team and one that could face a first-round exit depending on the opponent. So shout-out to Steven Adams and Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
Look how important you guys are.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
I mean, especially VanVleet.
Yeah.
I mean, part of that's just, like, whatever, 10 minutes ago, you're like, how'd the Rockets get so much slower? And it's like, I think it's because they don't have any guards. Like, they just don't have anyone to, like, push the ball. Because everyone who handles the ball is, like kind of panicking when they have it.
Yeah, you got...
They're all like, I normally should not be doing this.
Yeah, you got one guy who doesn't want to be considered a seven-footer and Kevin Durant. A guy who's not really a seven-footer and Alperen Sengun. And the other guy of that height who sometimes is a ball handler in Jabbar, you don't want to dribble. No. And Amen Thompson's handle's not tight enough to deal with actual people pressuring him out on the perimeter. You don't have guards. You can't play at any type of pace partly because none of those ball handlers are really trustworthy when pressure is sent their way. They got some issues, as you might be able to tell. They sputtered quite a bit over the last 2 weeks or so. You've had... The Warriors' loss was PTSD. Last night was, this is where we are. We aren't even in this tier. We thought maybe OKC is a team we're chasing. In the back of your mind, even if you knew the Spurs were good, you thought, hey, we're pretty good too. Well, at least for one night, when Mike Tirico can mention Kevin Durant's burners on national television, you are clearly behind that team in San Antonio.
Hey, stick to downhill skiing, Mike.
Talk right? about Lindsey Vaughn right. or something, or Michaela yeah. Striffin.
Tell us more about Alyssa Liu.
Yeah. Right?
Is she at this game?
Yeah, I found out that's, of all the ways to say her name, everyone's been saying it wrong.
Is it Liu?
It's Alyssa. Oh, the first Lisa. Name we're not even saying right. Oh. It's Alyssa Liu.
Okay.
Good luck having anyone okay. remember that, though.
Yeah, I'll try to remember that in 3.5 years.
And she buried her dad in an interview. They were asking her about, hey, how did your dad feel? She was like, well, it doesn't matter how he feels.
Damn.
Because he wasn't happy when I quit, so who cares what he thinks pretty much about it? Like, she goes, I'm not upset that he's happy, but he goes, he really shouldn't even be happy at all. In fact, I don't want to know what he thinks about this, even though, you know, he's sitting over there while she's winning gold medals. So family dynamics, man. Yeah, they can be crazy. All right, we'll go to break with that. We will come back and talk, well, about the goings-on in the NFL. Lots going on. We'll hear from Jaylen Brown. We mentioned the Celtics in passing, talking about Ime Udoka. We'll hear from Jaylen Brown when we come back about why the Spurs are special. And you kind of know why. It's the big dude who was dominating the Rockets last night. We'll hear from Jaylen Brown on Wimby when we come back. But before we do any of that, I want to talk about Monument Chevrolet. They're special too. You can't be in business for as long as they have without being special. Over 50 years, they've been selling cars to people. The car buying experience can be a tricky one for people. You're never quite sure how you're going to get to the car you want because, depending on what dealership you've been to in the past, your experiences have not been great. That's not going to be the case at Monument Chevrolet. They're going to treat you like family as soon as you step on the lot, and you can get that experience started by going to monumentchevrolet.com. Find all the vehicles on the website, and they have a nice view our lineup section where you can see whether you want an electric car or a traditional truck, maybe an SUV, a performance vehicle like the Corvette, or maybe you're looking for a commercial vehicle to bolster your business or help you start a business. It's all there for you on the website. That's Monument Chevrolet. So whether it's a Silverado 1500 or an SUV like the Equinox or Trailblazer, find the deal in the car, truck, SUV you want, and then head on out there. And the important thing is the prices aren't going to change. You can see a vehicle, you can see a price, and you're going to expect that price, and you're going to be welcome with that price on the lot. Ask for Jeff. He is their GM. Any questions you've got, he'll be the one to get you set up. And then you get with the salespeople, and they'll walk you through the process at the pace that you want because they work with you to make sure the car buying experience is a good one for you as you get a great vehicle for yourself. That's the Monument Chevrolet way. So the website is monumentchevrolet.com. They're in Pasadena off of Beltway 8 and 225. Chevrolet, together let's drive.
Houston's only FM sports station, ESPN 97.5.
This is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 97.9 HD2.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, welcome back to the show. We'll get to, well, one player's opinion of why the Rockets might be in real trouble. He's not talking about the Rockets, but he is talking about Wimby, and this description of him may be a reason why that window that we all thought may exist might never have existed as soon as Wimby got drafted. Here's Jaylen Brown on his stream talking about Wembanyama.
That boy Wimby is a problem.
Yeah. Told you this would come back.
When I say I'm the best two-way player in the league, it's not counting Wimby. Like, Wimby don't count. Wimby don't count. He's not even human. I'm the best human.
Human player.
Human player.
One play against, first he had the the dribble from half court where he sidestepped Reed Shepherd and dunked. Okay, that's nuts. And I think the broadcast team was talking about, well, poor Reed Shepherd. What could he have been thinking? He also had, like, it was a simple layup for him, but I think Amen picked him up beyond the three-point line. He dribbled, made a little pirouette, took a step that you didn't think he had, and just laid it in. And Amen, we know, great defender, but there's just no answer to what you're seeing. And I don't watch a lot of Spurs games unless it's on national television. There's no real reason for me to. But watching Wimby last night against a Rocket team who's a good basketball team, as much as we talk, at least I talked in the first segment about what some of their issues are, and at least what it looked like last night. That's a good basketball team, and he just kind of treated them like, I don't know what, like Tar Eason made some bad decisions in the paint trying to get balls up over Wimby.
There's one, I think it was in the second quarter, where I'm just like,
what are you doing?
Is this the first time you've seen this guy?
This is a no-go for you, Tari. Cut it out.
And of course, Wembanyama like spikes it into
It's not like, we know his height and all his advantages and his timing. So we know it's not going to be, oh, he just got that and knocked it out. But I think he's talked about this, that part of it certainly is his wanting to intimidate people.
Yeah.
Where there are times where he could, because of his God-given abilities, he could just grab a basketball. He didn't have to spike it, but he goes, I'm kind of making a point when I do that.
For deterrence.
Yeah, hey, guys.
It's hey.
And if you do it, why are you embarrassing yourself? Like, these aren't even, because when Tari did it a couple times, he was in a lane, of course. He's maneuvering around one defender, and Wimby's the help guy. And I guess because you're in the middle of trying to make a move, you forget who is patrolling the area. And then it's like, a quick, oh, okay,
yeah,
this guy is standing here, and this has no chance of going in.
It's like watching like a snake on the animal planet, where it's like, it's just waiting, boom, got it. Like,
done.
Just over like that.
And because we're watching it from where we're watching, we see him tracking over, and we know there's no chance. But Tari, I guess, just didn't take into account. Mm-hmm. He goes, hey, maybe I can get this, and no, he couldn't. Tari's had a bad run the last week or so.
It's been... I saw something of his last seven games. Not great. 18% from three.
Yeah, Kalshi Hoops has put that up.
Yeah.
I think Kalshi Hoops, or was it a different one of those predictor markers, did the Jabari Smith thing.
It's all the same account.
A couple young Rocket Wings have gotten a treatment the last couple of days about how poor they've been. I mean,
there's an entire industry of just watching the national TV game and being like, let me find some stats the team that's losing.
Let me dig up some stats and find out how I can make this guy look even worse than the human eye would tell you he played.
It is hard to, like, shake the Rockets and Spurs had the exact same record. The Rockets won a coin flip, and so they didn't get Victor Wembanyama.
Yeah.
Like, it is hard to just be like, wow, that could actually just be the, like, difference in a lot of this. It's just like, The I don't know, like the gravitational pull that Wembanyama has that just like makes everything so much easier. Cause like he doesn't have like a limitation. You know, like when you have Alperen Şengün as your best player, Amen Thompson as your best player, best young player, like there's like, okay, well, it limits what you can do in XYZ ways. It's like having a 7'5" guy who plays like he's 6'5", complimentary. And like on offense, he can just do like Kobe Bryant stuff. And then on defense is fast Rudy Gobert. Just like, I don't know what, like
well,
what am I supposed to do?
Well liked, fast Rudy Gobert.
Yeah.
Who isn't a liability.
It's like, what
on
are we,
the perimeter?
I don't understand like what the, like, league is supposed to do with this. Like,
Jokic.
How is anyone supposed to do anything?
Jokic, I think he was quoted recently as saying, maybe not so recently, but he was quoted as saying, hey, I'm glad I'm probably going to retire before this guy just puts the league in a headlock and it's all over.
I like, the one thing, I don't think they could have done, I don't think Victor Wembanyama could have brought the drum thing to Houston. I think it's good for him that he's in San Antonio for that.
Well, the drum thing was a thing in Houston because of Yao in China. Didn't they beat drums at one point at Toyota Center because of Yao and the Chinese connection? They might have done that.
I don't know. I know,
but it wasn't specific to like after wins and
yeah,
stuff.
I just think that the after the win, like everyone's gonna clap coordinated style. I don't think that would have worked in Toyota Center, or it would have taken more than like 2 or 3 years.
Well,
to do
I've
that.
Never lived in San Antonio. You spent time there, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
As a professional sports city, has the one team.
Yes, it's much
so it's
more
college-like yes. than it would be Houston,
and they've won 5 championships by. Quotes playing the right way,
yeah,
that kind of stuff. So it's like they're very much like down for the cause and down for like, I mean, you see it with like the Toyota Center tip off at 7 o'clock on a Wednesday, where mm-hmm. it's just like that doesn't happen in San Antonio. Like that doesn't happen there. They're much more like this is their thing. This is what they do. So yeah, we'll clap in a coordinated style with Carter Bryant beating a drum. Yeah, sure.
Maybe OKC would have.
Yeah, OKC is another one where it's just like...
Yes, and I don't know the makeup of San Antonio, where if you're born there, do you live there? And if you don't move there, you eventually, or move away, eventually die there. I mean, Houston is more of a place where people yeah. come and then, of course, leave. So
there's some military bases, so there's a little bit of like out-of-town
so,
happening.
Just the cities are comprised differently. Yeah. So, I mean, we know in this town, you can go to a bar on a Sunday and watch and look at many jerseys aren't. Texas yeah. jerseys. It's just how it goes. Anyway, that game went poorly. It's gone poorly against San Antonio all year for yeah. the most part.
It's just like how you know, razor thin the margins are, and then also the drum thing. I was just yeah, picturing empty red seats as he's like, all right, here's what we're going to do. You clap when we beat the drum.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the case because I don't remember back when Yao was here, but it feels like because of how we operate, the sports town operates, Wimby would probably have comments about the lack of people at the start of a game. It would drive them nuts. We know the Texans, CJ and D'Amico talked about
yeah.
in thinly veiled ways about the crowd and how they would love the crowd to do this and that. For a Rockets game at 7:30 on a Wednesday, Wimby would excuse me?
Yeah.
What am I doing here? And where is everybody?
Was that year? I forgot if that was year one or early year two when it's like, hey, when D'Amico and CJ Stroud were like, hey guys, we're like good. Like you should show up on time. And
yeah,
it was
less like that, more like, hey,
really
man,
great.
We love our fans. Love when they're loud and early. We love that. And then it wasn't like a clear, hey, show up. But it was like, hey, we love when our fans are raring to go and are there when the game starts.
We don't want to go silent count when the Steelers are in town.
Well, that's happened to many a Texan team in the past.
And I feel like, they didn't do it this year because I think it kind of like, yeah. All right. Well, we did our best.
Sure.
And I wonder if that would have happened to Wimpytown.
And they started late. They started poorly early. There wasn't.
Oh,
they weren't
true.
In a position to tell the fans anything after how they started. So, okay, that we've done a lot of Wimby and the Spurs. Unfortunately, we did some Texans certainly in the first segment, and all of Texan stuff eventually leads back to CJ. And we'll talk about when we come back why that contract and the potential for it. Could certainly be a positive if he reverts back to year one, but if he is more like year two, there's a dark side of it, and one franchise is dealing with it today, and we'll talk about that when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
All right, welcome back to the show. We were talking about another quarterback during the break in a way we can't really discuss on the air. It's the Joe Burrow non-Jessica Alba thing going on, where apparently they were seen together and her current boyfriend was like, excuse me, I'm still around. Whatever you think you see, that's not real. They're at a, what is it, playing blackjack or poker or something like that?
Something like that.
In a casino. Either way, Daniel Ramirez, Hollywood actor, is like, guys, they can be out in public together, but just realize, I've been idolizing that woman for like 20 years because he's about a decade younger. You think I'm going to let Joe Burrow, who I don't care about football that much, Joe Burrow, take her away from me? We'll see how that
Moody
goes.
Moody ass Joe Burrow.
Oh, emo ass Joe Burrow. He's going to take my girl away. Either way, Danny Ramirez responding with photos of him and his girl, Jessica Alba. That aside, a different quarterback who's married, isn't in that particular field of trying to snake Hollywood actors away from their boyfriends, if that's what's going on there. Tua Tagovailoa, released by the Dolphins, got the farewell video from the team. The general manager put out a statement released by the team about why they made the decision, and he already has a job in place, it looks like. The Falcons are apparently the heavy favorite to sign Tua, and because of how the offset language works, Miami had to get rid of him, but they're making it a post-June cut, so the first year of the cap hit is over 60-something million dollars, and then I believe. And then the next year is like around 32-something. So they have to stretch $99 million over 2 years. So the Falcons can pay him the minimum, and the Dolphins foot the bill for the rest as they try to get their cap situation in order. And I bring this up because that is the other side of what happens when we give our quarterback lots and lots of money and we're wrong on him. Injuries, poor play because of the injuries led to Tua's release. And, of course, the regime change didn't help, although he was benched at the end of last year, so it looked like his time was done, even if Mike McDaniel had come back. This is why you hear the back and forth with contracts. Some guys are like, look, the quarterback's pretty good, you pay him. That's just how the NFL goes. Well, what happens when the quarterback is either not as good as you thought, or simply not good enough to get you to a spot where you can be okay giving that quarterback that money per year while you suffer the consequences at different spots. This is why the CJ conversation will be ongoing until a decision is made. You saw Kyler Murray get cut, or eventually he'll get cut. I don't know if the Cardinals have done that officially, but either way, they're going to be on the hook for $30-plus million this year. It's just what you, the penance you pay if you get it wrong. So when you think about CJ and you're either you're worried about keeping him or you're worried about the Texans paying him, no matter what side you fall on, if they do pay him and you're either wrong or right about him, a day like this isn't in the future because these are how these contracts now go. It's too much money. And when you're stuck,
yeah,
you're stuck, and you've got to hope for a bailout. And the Cardinals and the Dolphins then get a bailout from the league because the league knew you're just gonna cut this guy anyway. Why would we give up anything, take any type of cap hit, and if we do like this quarterback, we'll just get him. And that's what the Falcons seem to be in line for. And we're trying to figure it out during the break because there are not a lot of lefty quarterbacks over the course of this league. I think there are three currently. Dylan Gabriel, Michael Penix, and Tua. Will this be the first time that two lefty quarterbacks are on the same roster and likely compete? Certainly, same time they're both competing for the starting job. Because I think that's what the plan is. They're going to bring him in, Tua, and Michael Penix and Tua will compete for that job because Michael Penix isn't set in stone there. Kirk Cousins is on his way out. And if you're going to put Tua in any spot, put him in a dome.
Yep.
And then he gets to play Tampa once a year. The Saints, another dome team, mm-hmm. and depending on when he goes to Carolina, might be a very mild day there too. So you're guaranteeing 10 games a year, maybe 11, where he doesn't have to deal with the elements. So that's a spot where he may be able to find his way back, but it won't be with the Dolphins. I don't want to see the day that becomes a story here where, man, the cap hit for having to get rid of CJ is something that's really going to hamper the Texans. The thing is, for me, will Caserio be around to make that decision? Because if he
won't be around to cut him.
No. If he's, he won't be around to cut him. Yeah. Because the GM, Chris Greer, wasn't around to cut Tua. He got fired this season before Tua got cut. But he is, if from all the reporting, because I can't find it anywhere, in the final year of his deal that he signed when he initially became a Texans, the Texans GM. So if he doesn't do it this offseason, will he be around to make that decision next offseason? You know what? If I'm the McNairs, I let this play out. I let the McSario thing play out. I let this offseason play out and maybe give him the directive. We're not giving CJ an extension, no matter the circumstances.
Yeah.
We'll see how he plays.
And then if
the season goes well, maybe we'll shell out an extension to you, and then you can make the decision on CJ.
I think both of them are just like wait and see. I think so too. The CJ Stroud thing is just, if you're not sure. The thing is also a lot of times, and that's what makes like the Tua or the Kyler Murray or so many of these like extra bad. Russell Wilson back in the day, although he wasn't a young guy, but like he just overnight, just like, oops, terrible contract. Mm-hmm. It's that it's like, it feels like you know immediate. Like the ones where it's like, should we pay this guy? I don't know. Daniel Jones, another one, where it's like the second you do actually pay him, turns into a pumpkin. It's like you don't even get 2 years to fake it. Like it's just like, nope, actually, this thing's over. I don't know how you do that after the last two games CJ Stroud's played. You're like, now we lock it in. Now hundreds of millions of dollars are guaranteed.
The timeline for the most recent pumpkin turning, Tua had the 2023 year where it looked like they're on the verge of being the AFC East number one seed. They fell apart late because that's what a Dolphins team will do. And then he gets hurt early 2024. He suffers another concussion, and that's kind of all she wrote for his upward trajectory. He never was really the same since. So he didn't suffer a concussion this year, thankfully for him, but they did yank him at the end of the season, partly to lose. And, of course, Mike McDaniel thought he still had the job, so he wanted to see what Quinn Ewers had to offer. Now, Quinn Ewers, depending on what the Dolphins do with little cap room, may be the starting quarterback, or they can draft someone to compete with him. But Kyler wasn't so much catastrophic injury-based. It was just from the joke of, hey, we got to make sure you don't play Call of Duty, and writing that into the contract to missing like stints of time, but not major injuries, but also not performing well. The Cardinals decided, along with getting a new coach, that he was not going to be a Cardinal anymore. So I think, unlike McDaniel and was it Gannon? D'Amico would survive a parting of the ways with CJ Stroud.
Mm-hmm.
He would survive that. He's done something those other guys didn't do. Not only make the playoffs, which Mike McDaniel did, make the playoffs 3 straight years, Mike McDaniel did it twice, but also win playoff games, win divisions. So I think D'Amico avoids the Gannon and McDaniel fate, but it would certainly help the GM for CJ to bounce back. Although, you know, the Texans may be very patient with Casario and go, you know what, okay, the quarterback wasn't right, but this roster you built is a pretty good one, at least defensively. So we'll give you a shot to find the answers on offense. But we're seeing it in real time, what happens when you miss. And the Jags, I felt like they were next until the back half of last season. I thought the Jags would be in the same position that the Cardinals and the Dolphins were with Trevor Lawrence. They may have given him another year, but
I'd be
on the lookout for that one too.
The Jags is what makes it tough. Is that it can be, you know, you're right there with the ones that don't work out. And then for, like you said, like the last 8 games of the season, it's like, oh, actually this is looking good. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, and then you don't top it off with winning a playoff game.
Well,
and then you're back to asking questions.
That's their business.
Yeah, it's not our business. It's their business.
Again, even just making the playoffs and the questions you're asking after not making or not winning a playoff game, it's still better than $99 million in dead money. Like, at least you're buying, like, well, let's do one more year. And, you know, if it goes badly, then the dead money is now, you know, whatever. It would be, like, half as much.
Yeah. And since we're talking about GMs and their futures, one guy who doesn't have to worry about it is Jerry Jones. We talked about that last week. They just traded for Rashawn Gary. The cap hits for Rashawn Gary compared to Micah Parsons doesn't look good for Jerry. Like, Rashawn Gary cap hits the first two seasons, 26 and 27, compared to Micah's first two, despite all the money Micah's making. We're talking $10 million in difference to the positive for Rashawn Gary, as opposed to what Micah Parsons is making as far as cap hits are concerned. So, sure, it didn't cost you. You got your picks, but you couldn't trade for Max Crosby because the Ravens went to two first-rounders. You weren't willing to do that. So you trade for Rashawn Gary, less productive than both, more expensive in years one and two.
Restructure. I'm hitting the restructure button.
Yeah, whatever it takes, Gary, Jerry. Get it done. But, yeah, so the Cowboys go out and get the defensive end who has 7.5 sacks. Fine. But you never want to be a fan base when you see a new acquisition that there's already an existing mixtape of his lowlights. That was ready for Cowboy fans to watch. There's one play where he's in, but he's lined up over the center guard, and he's doing basketball moves before the snap.
Oh my God! He tried to do the Myles Garrett like crossover thing.
Yeah,
and he's not Myles Garrett.
But but the Cowboys got him, so he can be their new Myles Garrett. Congratulations. That's rough.
That is very rough. And the thing about the mixtape is. True. It's going to be tough for Alperen Sengun's next team.
Well, yeah.
It's going to be tough in July.
Yeah, it's going to be tough for whoever may acquire Alperen Sengun if it goes down that way to have to watch his poor defensive mixtape and know that it wasn't even created by like a Spurs fan. It was created by a Rockets fan. All right, we'll go to break with that. We're officially into the legal tampering period. We'll see if any deals are coming our way or do they wait a little bit to avoid the NFL casting their eye at someone for getting a deal done too early. But we'll see. We're already getting reports of players and their
newest team. Alec Pierce sticking around.
The Colts are paying him, huh?
Yep.
So that was a surprise. Now, we don't know the extent. Oh, actually, we do know. Maybe Daniel Jones will get a longer-term deal done so he doesn't cost what he's going to cost due to the transition tag. But Alec Pierce doesn't leave the division. The Bills were a team until they traded for DJ Moore. Certainly there are others, but if he's going to get a $30 million per year deal with the Colts, I mean, cool for them, I guess. Great. It doesn't help the Texans when it comes to Nico Collins, though. Alec Pierce?
4 years, 115.
Alec Pierce is getting that type of money?
115.
In my division, he's getting that money? I already suspected extension talks were underway for Nico because he would be going into his unrestricted free agent year in the 2027 season. You don't want to do that. You would like to get a deal done. I thought maybe they could wait till maybe the middle of the 2026 season right afterwards. But if Alec Pierce is getting $30+ million a year, Nico, whoever your agent is, whoever allowed you to take that picture in the bowels of the Texans stadium when you've signed your initial big deal, whoever said that was cool, get him on the phone or her on the phone, talk to the Texans and say, we're going to start at 30.5. Because I don't want it to look like I just came in above Alec Pierce out of spite. I want it to be 30.5, and then we'll go from there. And big money for Alec Pierce, who feels like a one-trick guy, but maybe that's just because of the quarterbacks he played with. We'll go to break. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.